sports talk doesn't stop on Friday.
What? You give me one good reason.
It's Saturday.
And these guys have a lot to say.
Let me talk to you.
This is Force Company.
Yadda, yadda, yadda.
Brought to you by LPL Financial Nashville and Patrick Conger, financial planning for tomorrow so that you can enjoy today with Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, and Connor Newt.
Yeah.
On 102.5 and 106.3. Game Nashville app.
Special Sunday edition for his company here on 102.5, 106.3. The Game. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt, Jake Wallman with you. A lot of college football talk in the first hour. We'll keep it right there to start hour number two, and then we'll get ready for week one in the NFL coming up towards the end of the show. Again, not our usual time slot. We're usually Saturdays 9 to 11. Vanderbilt playing in the morning yesterday. We moved back a day. We'll be back in our usual slot next week. And Vandy plays on Saturday night. Alcorn State coming into town. So that should be fun. Let's get back to our question of the day here. Jake Wallman, our fearless producer behind the glass, he posed the question. You know, there's always the is Texas back argument. So we'll say maybe we don't talk about Texas in this. But is there a program that you believe is back that maybe used to have a ton of success, fell off, and has risen back towards the peak of college football? Anybody have one in mind off the top of their head?
I do, actually.
I do as well.
I
got
to think, man.
And I'm not trying to be the, you know, homer pick here. It's not a homer pick like in the state of Tennessee, but for me, because everybody knows my college football 25 dynasty was with SMU. I think SMU's back.
After the death penalty.
I think
you love your death penalty teams, don't you?
There's just something about SMU, man. Like, they're the roster, but yes, the roster is veteran-esque, but if you look at the rest of their schedule, BYU next week, TCU, Florida State, Louisville, Stanford, Duke, Pittsburgh, Boston College, Virginia, Cal, like, that is a potential ACC winning team.
Yeah.
What a great institution.
They struggled against Nevada.
Yes.
But clearly have figured some of those issues out and still got the win. That's the most important thing. You get out of there 1-0, you move on to the next week.
And I think teams that play in week zero have an upper edge against teams that play in regular week one.
Yeah.
Because week zero for me is like preseason. I mean, everybody gets their week one, right? But like, getting an extra week to start before everybody else, I think, gives you an extra edge. That's just me. That's just the way I just look at college football. So, I mean, if they can figure out the kinks against Nevada and then they go play Houston Christian this past week and win 59-7, I mean,
yeah.
I think they might have figured out some cupcakes in here and there. So,
Jake Wallman, do you have an answer? And if you say Tennessee, something's getting thrown through the window.
Yes.
I've already made this known. Don't Seriously. You dare. There's a helmet sitting right in front of me. It'll go right at your head through the glass.
Broken yeah. Derek Mason bobblehead Not is coming way. Your way.
All right, well, I guess I can't pick Tennessee.
You can pick
really?
Tennessee
you
if you
well,
want.
I don't want to pick Tennessee because that's it feels like, at least for Vol Nation, that's kind of a given. Like, Vol Nation feels like Tennessee's back.
Oh, we
but,
know.
But I don't want to say Tennessee's back because I think Tennessee needs a little bit more of a national stage than just an Orange Bowl win.
I don't know. I'm curious. I want to hear your opinion on Tennessee here because in our picks, I picked them to go 11-1.
I think that 10-2 is a good baseline for them, and I think that they will go 10-2. But I think 11-1 is possible. Just, you know, you got to win the games in front of you and all that stuff.
What gives you that extra notion of like, yes, this team is back? Is it like Josh Heupel's offense, or is it
it's
like
a mixture,
Nico is like possibly the best quarterback in the nation?
It's a mixture of Josh Heupel's offense. And I think this defense is going to be really, really good. The defensive line, while there are some questions, you've got guys like Omari Thomas, James Pierce. Yeah, you know, I just think that this defense is going to eat this year.
I do think Tennessee,
but they're not my back team.
They need to win a playoff game,
yes,
to qualify as being back. I think if they are the 6 or 7 seed, host a playoff game in Neyland and win, the we're back meter will start to go up a little bit. I don't think they're there yet. Do you have a non-Vols one that was in mind, Jake?
I was going to say Ole Miss, but I don't know.
Oh!
I was going to say Ole
don't
Miss, too.
Don't say Ole Miss.
I was going to say Ole Miss, but I don't know if Ole Miss, I mean, when was Ole Miss ever here?
Yeah, they weren't really a blue
1961.
Blood. But like,
oh, Arch Manning.
there is a lot of energy around that program right now. Like Lane Kiffin has re-energized the Rebels.
Yeah. 100%.
I feel good about that.
I do have one that's not Ole Miss. Okay. Michigan.
Yeah. That's a good, I mean.
See, I would qualify them in the falling off category.
They just won the national championship.
Yeah, Connor.
I know.
Man.
I'm saying this season.
Oh.
Okay. Well, I mean, I think you have to let a season. I think you have to have a buffer. I should have made that
clear. I was like, they just
got canceled on my own show.
I think a team that's fallen off, though, and we already mentioned them, Clemson. That's
a good one.
I was going to stray away from that one.
Florida State last year was getting towards the being back because after Jimbo left for A&M, they had the Willie Taggart years where things went south in a hurry, and they went undefeated last year. Should have been in the playoff. And we'll see what happens this year. Not a great start for them out in Ireland. But Florida State, I think, would be close to the being back based on last year.
Yeah. Man. You guys.
If they had a quarterback, I'm with you, Jake. If they had a quarterback this year, it'd give them a better case. Man, but
you guys just
are there teams out there that, like Nick mentioned, Clemson that's fallen off. Are there teams out there that's falling off? Do you think
that's what we're
TCU?
Yeah,
that's where we're going.
It's so funny to see like TCU and Washington, the last two runner-ups nationally, and neither of them are ranked. Heading into the season.
Yeah.
TCU did win against Stanford on Friday night, and Washington beat Weber State last night.
Yes.
It wasn't easy for Washington at first. I think they pulled away towards the end. But it's just crazy how sometimes for some of these programs, it's you got 1 year where you got a chance and you make a run. Both of them fell short of a national championship, but that window is kind of closed for teams like that.
Man, as far as being back, it's a tough call. I'll give you the one that I think has fallen off first. Okay. Florida.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Florida, I mean, we're not in the Tebow days anymore. And I think based on yesterday, Billy Napier,
that was a matter of time. That was a must win for them because their schedule is just absolutely brutal.
It's a matter of time for Billy Napier. As far as being back, I mean, Miami comes to mind. Nebraska comes to mind for me.
I'd like that one actually. Nebraska, Colorado next weekend.
I don't know if I want to qualify Nebraska as being back because they haven't. The resume isn't there yet.
They're on their way.
There's a lot of energy surrounding the Huskers.
Things are heading in the right direction for what feels like the first time in 10 years for Nebraska.
Yeah. They have their quarterback of the future.
Rayola's good for
at least 3 years. Rayola's good.
Daniel Ryan on Twitter says the Doors, they're back.
Were you ever here?
I mean, he makes a point.
That's a good point.
For Vanderbilt standards, yeah, they might.
If they could get back, like Vanderbilt, if they could get back to the James Franklin results of being a 7-8 win team, going to a bowl every year, and then who knows, maybe you find 1 year where you have a great talent at quarterback or whatever it is, and you can not make a run to maybe an SEC championship, but have a 9-win season. I don't think that's this year, but I think yesterday showed they're moving in the right direction. I'm not ready to say the Doors are back.
That gives me an interesting one, though. Where do we put Penn State?
They're like flying a plane, they're in like a holding pattern.
They're doing just enough to stay relevant, it feels like, but
yes,
not enough to go all the way.
Penn State lives in an eternal 9-3, 10-2, like just outside being a contender, but always ranked in the top 15.
Attaboy Jimmy Frank.
It just, I don't know. I don't know how to really digest the Penn State side of things.
I will say Drew Aller looked great yesterday.
Yeah.
I kept seeing highlights. I mean, he had a great start to last season and started getting hype as maybe one of these future NFL quarterback prospects, then had a rough finish to the year. But if he plays like he played yesterday in that West Virginia game, maybe Drew Aller is a guy that we're talking about with Carson Beck and Shedeur Sanders as a possible top 10 pick next year.
I don't know. I feel like Carson Beck's on a different level than everybody else.
Yeah.
Aller's got a cannon for an arm.
He does.
Can he put it together, though? That's the thing.
Speaking of Aller, did you guys hear what James Franklin said after the game yesterday?
No.
James Franklin says a lot of things.
They asked him, it was something along the lines of what he can compare his quarterback to, and they call him Lamar Allar. Comparison to Lamar Jackson.
Lamar Allar.
Interesting.
Okay.
I don't see it.
And see, if there's a coach like James Franklin saying that about his quarterback, comparing him to Lamar.
He's behind him.
Yeah, but to me, that just, I don't know, something in my gut, you know, my gut tells me a lot of things, including if I'm hungry. But
I know you're going there.
It just tells me I don't think they'll be a good quarterback in the NFL. So, like, their max ceiling is somewhere in college football.
I agree with that.
I will quickly, because we're on the topic of Penn State, did you guys hear what Diego Pavia said after the game yesterday? So, Brent Pry, Virginia Tech's head coach, he was the DC at Penn State and was with Trace McSorley there. And he compared Diego Pavia. He said he does a lot of things like Trace did. I think he meant it in a complimentary way, but I guess Diego Pavia had
I did hear this.
He had his, like, Michael Jordan, and I took that personally moment.
Yeah.
And he said that some people have called me a poor man's Trace McSorley. How about you stop me first and then you can talk?
cold blooded.
Hey, whatever it takes to get you there, like, if you need something like that for motivation, do it. Like, it. Put the chip on your shoulder.
Who was the one yesterday that said they feel Vanderbilt has everything they need to make a run?
Oh.
I think it was a defensive player.
I didn't see that. Maybe. I mean, if they were talking to the media, it could have been like C.J. Taylor, Langston Patterson, or somebody like that.
I mean, I'm just going to say it now, and I'm going to say a lot of things. This show will now have a small school Heisman trophy. We will be the we will be the judge of small school Heismans.
Okay,
Pavia's on that list.
Or we count Vanderbilt as small school. Are we going based off like attendance or like group of five?
Are we going program size?
Going program.
Okay.
Yes, program size.
Maybe we need to look at the College Football 25 and go like 3-star program and under or
deal.
Whatever they have.
Yes.
Okay. Kennesaw
deal.
State. Baby.
We'll do that.
3-star.
We'll
where would you put a 3.5-star program? I guess that's
three star. Well, it's a hard line.
I will do some research and I can come back with the list of programs we're going to look for. But
based
I like
on
that.
Ratings.
We will in December, the weekend, I guess we'll probably have a show the day of the Heisman Trophy ceremony. We will give our small school Heisman Trophy.
We have to give this Heisman Trophy an actual name. It can't just be like the small school Heisman. It has to be like something like
the Cromwell Heisman.
No. It gotta be something good.
We'll
gotta name it after a player.
We got 3 months to figure this out.
Yeah.
615-737
Memorial Trophy.
615-737-1025. That is our phone number. Our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. You can text or call. We're going to move on from college football and talk some NFL. 4 days away from the opener in Kansas City, Ravens and Chiefs. We got Packers-Eagles in Rio on Friday. And then our first NFL Sunday a week from today. We're going to talk Titans. They've got their 53-man roster, made some moves this week. That's coming up next. You're on Force Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Little Rocky on a Sunday morning. I'm ready to run through a brick wall.
This makes me think of Ted. Have you seen that?
Yes.
Where he's like, you know, Rocky. She's like, I'm not going to know a song of a movie I haven't seen. She hasn't seen the movie.
Jake Wallman continuing to play the bangers here on this Sunday morning. Again, not our usual time slot for Forrest Company. We'll be back on Saturday, 9 to 11, this upcoming week. We've talked all college football so far in the show. Week one, it was a fun one. Maybe more blowouts than we would like, but still great to have college football back. But now we get into the full swing of football season as the NFL kicks off on Thursday night. The Titans kick off their season Sunday afternoon, taking on the Chicago Bears out in the Windy City. They got down to their 53-man roster this week. Maybe a couple of times they got down to 53. We saw Rashad Weaver get waived. But I think the biggest move that happened, or the two biggest moves that happened this week for the Titans, Malik Willis traded away, going to the Packers, and Ernest Jones brought in from the Rams for basically just a pick swap. You bring in a guy who can be one of your starting inside linebackers. Thoughts on what Rand Carthon and Brian Callahan were able to do as they prepare for their first season as a tandem together?
I'm going to start with the Malik Willis trade. These guys did a pretty good job just I guess, offloading Malik Willis to another team. One, I just think he was put into a bad position with the Titans. Just in between coaching staffs, obviously you have Rand that is kind of the, you know, binding Band-Aid to both of those situations. But, yeah, it just good on them for actually putting him in a, you know, backup situation, because I just don't think he'd have a backup option here in Nashville. I mean, I said it at the beginning of the preseason that the tape preseason for Malik Willis is just going to be a trial for another team. And sure enough, I mean, luckily they were able to get a pick for him, which is pretty good.
Yeah, and I think Jared made a good point this week that seventh-round picks, the Titans have James Williams and Jalen Harrell, who are seventh-round picks this year that are expected to at least be rotational players for them this year. So if you can get a guy like that next year for Malik Willis, who is probably not ever going to play for you, I think it was a pretty good deal.
Yeah, real quick.
I don't want to be the guy, but is this situation in Green Bay that much better than what he has here? I know he moves up the depth chart by one spot, but you're also behind a young guy in Jordan Love, who is probably the franchise guy in Green Bay for the long run.
I think he'll learn more in Green Bay.
Yeah?
I think so. I know Brian Callahan's, you know, the coach guru for the most part when it comes to quarterbacks and offensive stuff, but I think he'll learn more in Green Bay just because, you know, that's a different style of quarterbacking. It's more pocket passing. As for Malik Willis, he's more of a run-first type guy when it comes to being a quarterback. But, yeah, I mean, it's just going to be able to shape his portfolio of how he can be a true NFL system quarterback. And that's how I look at Malik Willis going forward. But real quick, I was going to mention about the draft pick. Brent Carthon mentioned at the last preseason game in New Orleans, he hopped on with, like, the TV broadcast. And I mentioned this to Chase McJoe this past week, but he emphasized – I wouldn't say heavily, but pretty good about putting more emphasis on our scouting department and these late round draft picks.
Yeah.
So if you're going to be getting, you know, more hodgepodge picks of fifth, sixth, seventh round picks, maybe they do find a lot more gems than they have in years past.
Well, it was great in the Ernest Jones trade. You don't lose a pick. Yes, you flip a fifth and a sixth or whatever, and I think one of them is conditional, so it might move around a little bit. But basically, not giving up much to get Ernest Jones, who had a great season for the Rams last year. We'll keep talking about that after we head to our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Adam in Portland is on the line wanting to talk about the Titans. Adam, how are you doing on this Sunday morning?
Doing great, man. Hey, so here's my problem with the Titans, man, and I love them. I don't know if guys have picked that up from me through the years here, but nobody loves them as much as I do. But with that being said, I'm a realist, and anytime a team swaps coordinators and coaches, I'm always like, I have like a limit that of number of wins I can give them, just because there's always a transition period. The Titans, I think we have as a right as fans to be excited about Denard Wilson. I think we have a right to be excited that our head coach is an offensive coach this time, but we still have no proof that they know how to do those things well as coordinators. Or like, you know, like I don't know if this dude can call plays. Like, he drew up a couple of things in the last preseason. First two preseason games, it was pretty awful. So, like, I don't know. I don't know what to expect. I think Chicago leaves you a lot of opportunity to figure things out because they're not a very good football team. But at the same time, dude, it's like I have to be a realist. And a realist says, we just don't know, man. We could be a 5-win team. We could be a 12-win team. I think a lot of it's going to come down on the coaching this year, because I think they did everything right in the offseason. Like, they added so much depth, and Rand's not done, and Rand is like, anybody who's got a problem with Rand, this is the problem I got with Jared. Anybody who's got a problem with Rand, that's your problem. Like, this dude is doing what he's supposed to do, but like, the head coach right now is like, everything's on him in my eyes. Like, he's got to do well.
Yeah, thank you for the call, Adam. That's a really good point, that no matter how much talent the Titans did bring in this offseason, which is a lot, I mean, you brought in starters at a lot, two new wide receivers, new left tackle, new center, on the defensive side, couple of additions on the defensive line, two new linebackers, two new corners, and a couple new safeties. Like, they have completely overhauled the roster, but there is going to be an adjustment period. Brian Callahan has never called plays at the NFL level in a regular season game before, and I think there has to be some patience as they get used to this system and, you know, you build that chemistry between all these new pieces as well.
That was a great call. I agree with him 100%, actually. And I never really agree with Adam 100%. There's always one thing that I just don't agree with. But that was great. He is correct. Neither of the coordinators have been in coordinator positions before. So we don't know how they're going to call. We have a idea of what's going to happen based on what we've seen in practice and what we saw in the preseason games, but we don't know how that's going to translate to a real NFL game with starters playing the entire time. And how, I mean, how is the Titans team going to function with it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of pressure on Brian Callahan now. A lot of pressure being a head coach and now the play caller. So it's only time will tell.
Yeah.
That's kind of how you got to just take it one day at a time.
And Adam did mention that the play calling on Sunday, last Sunday, against the Saints was good. I mean, he dialed up two great drives for the first team offense. So if it looks like that next week in Chicago, I think that I will make a bold prediction now, and I know we're going to pick the Titans and Bears next week. I think the Titans are going to roll Chicago next week.
Bang.
Things could go wrong, and Chicago is a talented enough team that they could win. It's in Chicago, but I think Denard Wilson has a plan with all of these weapons that he has now to make Caleb Williams uncomfortable. I don't think the offense is going to look great, but I think they will do enough to win. I would say it's going to end up being like 27-10, something like that.
Calling like your shot right now.
Jake.
I'm pretty confident in it.
DJ Moore is going to just carve up the Titans secondary.
I know.
Isn't here anymore.
With Sean Murphy Bunting and Christian Fulton out there.
It's ridiculous. Whoever put that out.
That was like one of the funniest tweets that I saw. It was like, Titans cornerbacks give up X passer rating.
I was like, that's irrelevant.
I was like, well, none of them are here anymore.
Yeah. You know, one thing that I like about Denard Wilson, it just doesn't seem like he's scared to call those big plays. You know, they were talking about, you know, he's going to send rushers at Caleb Williams from all different angles. He just doesn't seem, and Brian Callahan seems like the same way with, you know, coming off last week's performance. They just don't seem like they're kind of dodging the bullet in ways of calling the offense and the defense.
Taking it head on, huh?
Yeah.
Yep.
Bull by the horns.
There you go. Bull by the horns. I haven't heard that in a while.
It sounds like something you would say. How have you not heard that in a while?
Well, you know. Just,
you use that old lingo.
I enjoy the old lingo. Hey, old lingo is better than new lingo.
Yeah, that's true.
Boomer doom.
Boomer doom. Boom. Jake thinks the Titans are going to get a big boom
in week one. I'm not 100% sold on the team in the long haul. I think that this is such an important game for the Titans. Mm-hmm. If you lose that one, you could easily be 0-4 heading into the bye week.
So is it must win? I know you don't like that phrase in week one.
Yes. I will never say a week one game is must win. I said this on the 6th on Wednesday.
Oh.
But I think this is about as close as it gets. If the Titans want to be playing competitive football down the stretch, it's a slippery slope if you start 0-1. Jets are a good team. Packers are a good team. Dolphins are a good team. And then you have road games at the Bills and at the Lions a couple weeks after that. Like, you could be 1-6.
This is true. The mid-stretch of the Titans schedule is the toughest of the year.
Yeah.
Then after about, like, week 8, maybe?
Yeah.
It starts to slope a little bit. You get into more division games. You play, you know, Washington. You play
Minnesota. New England.
Yeah.
Like, there are so many. You play Jacksonville twice in the back end. And division games, yes, would I say Houston is the better team? Probably. But you can win division games. Like, there's weird things happen in division games. But if they could be 3-4 coming out of that 7th game of the year, I think that puts you in a spot where you can make a run. Mm-hmm. But if you're 1-6, even 2-5, it's a long road back to get yourself back into contention. And I think the Bears kind of have to be one of those wins. I think you beat the Bears, you beat the Colts. Can you get one at home against the Jets or Packers? Because I don't know if I would pick the Titans to win on the road at Miami, at Buffalo, or at Detroit.
No.
I'd take them to beat Buffalo.
I'd take them to beat Miami.
Miami, I think, has a chip on their shoulder from last year.
I think they are going to be mad. Because that game kind of cost them their season.
It did.
Like, indirectly, if they had won that game, they win the division, and they're not playing their first playoff game on the road in Kansas City. They're playing a home game in Miami. It changed everything for them. I think they're going to be ready to roll for that one.
I agree with you. Yeah.
Buffalo, I could see.
It's so Yeah. Just that's a crazy environment.
For Buffalo's sake, I just don't see any firepower on their offense besides Keon Coleman.
That's a tough place to go win, though. And they've got a good quarterback and a good coach. I just think you can't chalk any of those three games up and say, like, you probably are going to go 0-3 in those games. Obviously could win, but yeah. I would say those are three that you don't put in your win basket. The other four in that early one, if you get three, I think you feel pretty good.
But to his point, what do I always say?
Titans are always going to tighten.
Titans are going to tighten, yes.
And they are liable to win a game that they are not supposed to win.
This is so true.
The Titans will go 3-4 in the first seven, but they'll beat the Dolphins, Bills, and the Dolphins, Bills, and Lions all on the road, and then lose the other four,
and then lose that's at just home how to New England. Yeah,
I am a little worried about the New England and Washington game because if Jaden Daniels ends up becoming a superstar, which is what it seems like, and ends up coming on later on in the season, that's going to be an interesting game. I mean, you might get treated as like a Chicago game where Denard Wilson brings the house,
that's in December, which. Jaden Daniels will have had his welcome to the NFL moment at that point. I think Denard Wilson is going to give that to Caleb Williams in week one.
Right. And I'm with you on that week one win. That does look pretty nice.
I know I've said it before. It just reminds me of the 2019 Browns opener. Yeah. It just feels the exact same way.
Punched in the mouth.
There's so much hype around the Bears right now. Same with the Browns in 2019. And it wasn't even close. The Titans dominated that game. Different teams. But it has the same feel to me. I'm saying this, and the Titans will lay an egg and lose 30-7 or something. But that's my pick. We'll make our official picks next week, heading into week one. But I'll put it out there now. I think the Titans take it in week one. 615-737-1025 is our phone number if you want to text or call us. We are going to make our full season NFL predictions. We did it for college football a couple weeks ago.
Game by game. All 300 plus games.
We are doing, we're going to pick divisions. We're going to pick AFC, NFC championships, and our Super Bowl coming up next here on Four's Company. 102.5, 106.3, the game. Four's Company, Sunday morning. Not our usual slot, but we're here 9 to 11, recapping college football, getting ready for week one of the NFL. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt, Jake Wallman with you. For about 30 more minutes, and we make a lot of predictions on this show. We're going to do it again. We're going to make our preseason NFL predictions. If we are right, we will bring them up. If we are wrong, these didn't happen.
No one is documenting this.
No one writes these down, but I'm sure that if we are right, we will go...
victory lap.
Yes, we will make sure to have a victory lap later on the season. If one of us gets all the division winners or something, whatever it is, we're going to pick all 8 division winners. We're going to pick an AFC and NFC championship and a Super Bowl each. So let's go through the divisions here. Let's start in the NFC. NFC West.
That's tough.
Are we feeling good about the 49ers?
No.
Or do we think there's a sleeper that could catch them?
I'm sticking to my guns here, gentlemen.
He's going Seattle.
He's going Rams.
Nope. You guys know who I picked my fantasy.
Kyler Murray.
Team. Yep. Kyler Murray.
He slipped to like the 8th round in one of my fantasy drafts.
I'm going to go with Arizona finishing second in the NFC West.
Oh, so you're not picking them to win?
No, I'm going to take the Rams to win that.
You have the Niners.
I think they have the Niners like finishing third.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow.
Is it you think Brock Purdy falls off? Or
I just think that the team defensively is going to fall off. I just feel like injuries are going to catch up to them. Christian McCaffrey, I don't think, is going to be fully healthy all season. I think injuries are starting to catch up to him. 8th year in the league, 7th year in the league.
Yeah.
Just possibly his time. And, like, you just signed Ayuk to a big deal. I have a problem with wide receivers and players that just get paid fat contracts, fat and happy. I don't like it.
You've got a Trent Williams holdout as well.
That's true. Too. So I have them finishing third in that division.
We need Nick Frazier to tweet out the meme of, like, if Kyler Murray has 1 million fans, I'm one of them. If he has 1 fan, I'm the only man left on earth. If he has no fans, I am no longer here.
I'm the guy that tweets out to Kyler Murray, like, I'm your number one fan. Like, my hand's barely in the picture. Yeah,
that's me. You're the guy that's, like, selfie with Kyler Murray, and it's you in the nosebleeds, and you're just holding your phone out, and, like, the field, Kyler Murray's, like, an inch.
I'm not a big Kyler Murray guy, but, like, when I put him on this fantasy team, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to give him a little shot here.
All right, so you're going Rams to win that division,
yes,
and 49ers finishing third. I'm going chalk. I think San Francisco wins it again.
I'm going with you.
I'm going with San Francisco.
All right, so three on the Niners, one on the Rams.
This is not going to age well.
NFC North. Lions, the favorites, but a couple of sneaky teams in there. We just talked about the Bears a little bit. The Packers as well. I will go with Detroit. I will go chalk again. I think they're going to have a big year.
You know what? I'll go Green Bay.
All right.
Ooh. Give me Jordan Love and the Pack. I like that offense. I think they click well. No standout stars, but Josh Jacobs is going to get the brunt of the carries this year.
He's going to get all the carries.
Yeah.
Their depth is gone.
Yeah. A.J. Dillon done for the year.
But one thing about the Packers, always have a good defense.
Yeah, true. That is true.
So I'll take the Pack. Go Pack, go.
Nick Frazier.
I'm going to go Detroit finishing first, and then Chicago second, Green Bay, and then Minnesota.
I think I told you guys a few weeks ago I'm a believer in Dan Quinn, or excuse me, Dan Campbell. Quinn.
Dan Campbell.
Gotcha. Not Dan Quinn. Dan Quinn, if you're listening to this, I'm sorry. I don't believe in you. Dan Campbell.
So we got
Dan Campbell.
Three on the Lions, one on the Packers. Guess what? I am a believer in Dan Quinn. NFC East, give me the Washington Commanders.
Woo!
That's not a bad pick.
I believe in them. I believe in the Washington Commanders this year. I think Daniels seems to be pro ready. Mm-hmm. They've got weapons around him. That defense is going to be better. And I think the Eagles and Cowboys are going to take a step back, and the Giants may be the worst team in football.
You just got Brandon Aldridge to run through a wall.
Give me the Commanders to win the NFC East.
Way to go. Fly, Eagles, fly. Give me the Eagles. I think it will be either them or Dallas, per usual. Dallas, I think, is losing a lot of their firepower. They've lost. This is the window for Dallas. This is it. And
I think that's a really sneaky pick with Philly.
I think they have a lot to prove coming off of last year.
Well,
they have a chip on their shoulder, and they loaded up. Well, Saquon Barkley is here. That defense is stellar. They have the best offensive line in football. Yeah.
On top of that, I think there's been some talk about some rift between Sirianni and Hurts.
Yeah.
So I think that's a really sneaky pick.
Hmm.
I think Washington is better, but I think they finished third.
Hmm.
I'm better in general. I thought you said better than the Eagles.
In general. No.
I've got the New York Giants.
I've got Dallas.
Okay. So we got three. Are you gonna take the Giants to round us out here, Nick?
No, I'm not gonna go that bold. I'm gonna say Philly finishes top of the NFC East, and then Washington to follow, along with Dallas and then the Giants.
Mm. All right. So we got two on Philly, one on Washington, one on Dallas. Mm-hmm. That one's. The NFC East is always so tough to pick. They haven't had a repeat division winner in, what,
a while.
15 years? Yeah. Something like that? So
I will say this. Washington does make the playoffs this year.
I'm a believer.
I see him as a wild card, yeah. I could see it.
All right, we'll round out the NFC. NFC South, this one's an interesting one. Mm. I know Atlanta's made a lot of moves. Saints are still sneaky. Tampa Bay won it last year. It's not going to be the Panthers.
Nick Frazier might pick him.
No.
He likes those short quarterbacks.
He likes the Bryce Young.
Hey, short people, unite. Let's go. Oh, boy. I'm going Tampa to finish out top on this, and then Atlanta to follow in second, New Orleans in third, and Carolina in last.
Is Todd Bowles still the coach?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. So that's where I lie on this. I feel like Tampa is just the team to really beat. Obviously, Atlanta's got all the firepower on offense, but at the same time, you got to remember it's going to be a growing process. You know,
I'm going to go with Atlanta. I think Kirk is the perfect distributor with those weapons. I do think Tampa is a playoff team, though.
Yeah,
I'm going to follow you. I go Atlanta as well. I think they have all the firepower, the young guys, Drake London, Bijan Robinson. Mm-hmm. I think Kyle Pitts steps it up this year, and I think Kirk Cousins is the reason why.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to pick Kirk as a backup QB in fantasy, and for some reason I went another direction. And I think it's between Tampa and Atlanta for the division. I don't think Dennis Allen
Saints guy.
Well, and just from his time with the Raiders, just wasn't a good fit. I don't think he's a head coach. So I think Atlanta wins with guys like Kirk and Kyle Pitts and Bijan Robinson, and I think they all have a big year.
Cool. I think Spencer Rattler wins a job in New Orleans, though.
It's possible.
Yeah. He's impressed.
If things go south quickly for the Saints, why keep putting Derek Carr out there?
Yeah. You're just wasting another season.
Yep. Yep. So that's our NFC picks. We'll come back. We'll do our NFC championship. Let's move over to the AFC. AFC West, anyone betting against Patrick Mahomes?
Nope.
No.
Nope.
No.
Cool. No. We're all on the Chiefs.
Yips.
AFC, let's go AFC East next.
Ooh.
This is kind of similar to that NFC South where no one's picking the Patriots. But the other three teams, I think, are in there. I am going to go with the Jets.
Ooh.
I think Aaron Rodgers at least lives up to some of the expectations. I don't think he's going to be MVP level by any means, but I think with the defense that they have, the weapons around him, I think the Jets win that division.
Mm. I will go... This is tough. I'm going to go Miami. Wow. That offense is firepower. I think Tua... has not been impressive so far through his career. I think he steps it up a little bit this year.
Interesting.
Connor's picking all the teams that have rifts between the quarterbacks and coaches.
I'm going to go the Jets, fall with Miami, and then hear me out for the rest of this. The Patriots finish third, and Buffalo finishes
last. You really
last.
Don't like the
you
Bills
hate
this
Josh
year.
Allen.
I'm not on the Bills. I really am not. I just don't see any upside with that organization right now.
I mean, I think they're going to be worse than they have been lately. I don't know about behind the Patriots, though. Jacoby Brissett is the starting quarterback.
And Tua does not have a rift with Mike McDaniel. It's Brian Flores.
Jacoby's going to get them three wins as a starting quarterback, and Drake May will come in around week five, week six, and then they'll win games, start winning. That's why I'm a little nervous for the Titans later on in the season.
I think Miami does finish first, and then I think Buffalo finishes second. New York finishes third.
New England
last.
So we got two Jets, two Dolphins there. Let's go AFC North. This one is always fun.
This is the hardest one.
It's chalk.
I mean, all four teams realistically could be in contention.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going Baltimore Cincy. I'm just going to put that out there. I think Baltimore is going to be the top team to beat in that division.
I'll go Browns.
Really?
Yeah, that's a sneaky pick.
You're a Deshaun Watson believer.
Not necessarily, but I believe in that defense. That might be
yeah, that is
one
true.
Of,
that defense
if not
was
the
nasty
best
last year.
Defense in football. Amari Cooper is always impressive. I'm curious to see how they go, A, bringing back Nick Chubb, if he comes back healthy.
Right.
B, Jerry Jeudy is now in the offense.
Yes.
True.
That was a sneaky move that they made this year.
And, of course, David Njoku, always an option at tight end.
Jerome Ford.
Yep, that too.
Yeah, Jerome Ford.
I will go Bengals. I think Joe Burrow bounces back from his injury, and I think that they win that division. But I would put Baltimore in the playoffs. I think Cleveland is borderline for me.
Wow, I'm a big Joe Shiesty guy.
Bengals.
I like the Bengals, and then I like Baltimore and Pittsburgh finishing tied for second.
I think Pittsburgh does what they do every year and just – finish like
somehow
9 and 8.
Somehow Mike Tomlin has, you know, he keeps his job like he has like the last 4 years.
Ever since the Killer Bees left, it's just 9 and 8 every year.
Yep.
All right, rounding it out, AFC South, Texans the heavy favorite. Anybody going with the Titans?
I can't do it. Not until they show me some.
I do have the Titans finishing second, though.
I do too.
I picked the Titans to win the division a few months ago on the show. I've changed my mind. I'm going with Houston. Yeah. I think the Titans are playing competitive football with a chance to make the playoffs down the stretch. We'll see if they can sneak in.
I think Houston does win the division. I think Indianapolis finishes last.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
Anthony Richardson, I think there is potential for him, obviously, with all of his abilities. I just think this year's not going to be it. I think he needs another year to get accustomed, and maybe next year he'll take that next step.
I have Jacksonville finishing last.
Really?
It's between those two for me.
It's a battle of like who's worse, like, to be honest.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'll go Jacksonville last and put AR and the Colts in third.
All right. Division. Championship games, NFC Championship. Who is facing off in our predictions here?
I will go Eagles and Lions.
Okay.
I think the Lions sneak in. They don't win the division, but they sneak in a wild card spot, and I think they have the firepower to get all the way. And I'll say, this is such a tough pick. Who wins? I'll go Lions.
So you got Lions out of the NFC.
Lions of the Bowl.
Beating the Eagles.
This is tough. Skip me. I don't want to take up too much time.
I'm going to go Lions against the Atlanta Falcons.
Wow.
In the NFC Championship game. I like the 49ers to win that division, but I think they've made so many runs to the NFC Championship. Eventually, your luck runs out. Like, playoff games are so hard to win. They've been so good at winning those wild card divisional rounds. I think their luck runs out. I think Atlanta and Kirk Cousins goes to the NFC Championship game, but they fall to the Detroit Lions. I've got Detroit
Lions to the Bull.
I think the Lions and San Francisco is such a trendy pick.
Yeah.
And I don't want to, I don't know if it does feel like their window's closing. So I'm just going to go ahead. I can't pick the game. I'm not going to pick their matchup because it just feels like it just doesn't feel right to pick San Francisco. Atlanta's a sneaky team. I think Washington maybe could make a run if Jaden's, you know, really the guy that they say he is. But I just can't pick a team that the Lions play. So I'm just going to pick the Lions NFC champion.
3 for 3 for Lions going to the Super Bowl.
I have Detroit and Philly.
Okay.
And the championship.
And who wins?
Oh, boy. I'm going Philly.
Okay.
There we go.
I'm going Philly. Lions sweep. Yeah. I think Detroit fans would have been cursing us if we went 4 for 4, yeah, picking
Joe
the
Rexrode
Lions.
Would come after us.
I think it was you that said, you know, they grab Saquon, they grab all these high caliber
players.
That's
why I was going back and forth, but I could see it going either way if that's the case.
I'm
going
to stick with Philly here. Just the resume is too strong.
All right, AFC Championship. I am going to go with the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Can't pick against Patrick Mahomes getting to the AFC Championship. And I've got them playing the Texans.
Oh, man.
But I
don't know who to choose for in that situation. Like,
the Chiefs are going to win.
I think I'd rather
game.
See the game tied. It ended in a tie and the fans burned the stadium down.
Oof.
I'm not picking against Patrick Mahomes going to the Super Bowl until he proves that he's not going to do it. So give me Chiefs over Texans in the AFC Championship game.
I don't want to be stale, but I'm going to go Chiefs and Baltimore.
Yeah.
Baltimore brings in Derrick Henry. Their offense is now, I would say, complete on paper. You're able to use him in different ways now, like maybe prioritize him in goal line situations.
Yeah.
Or have, you know, Lamar throw the ball to Zay Flowers more and actually have a passing offense. I mean, they've had a passing offense, but like pass it more in the middle of the field instead of relying on the run game.
So you're going Ravens over Chiefs?
No, I'm taking the Chiefs. I'm just
taking
saying.
The Chiefs, but Ravens get there?
Yes.
Gotcha.
Yes.
I'm going to go Chiefs in New York Jets.
Wow. Aaron Rodgers to the AFC Championship for the first time.
I think Aaron Rodgers and the connection between him and Garrett Wilson is seen. I think Breece Hall has a great season. I also think New York sneaks in as a wild card. Hmm. So kind of a trendy thing here, picking a juggernaut and then a wild card team. However, I do think the Chiefs win. Chiefs and Lions, baby.
We're 3 for 3 on Chiefs. Jake, are you sticking with it?
As much as it pains me to say, I like that Baltimore pick. You know, them beating out Pittsburgh for that, like, tiebreaker right at number 2 in the AFC North and getting matched up with New York in the AFC Championship game. And the addition of Derrick Henry is something that gives him the edge.
So you got Ravens.
Ravens in the AFC Championship.
Cool. All right. We have gone way over our break time here.
It's all right.
Super Bowl. We've got Chiefs-Lions, Chiefs-Eagles, and Ravens-Lions.
Yep.
Who are we going with? I am going Chiefs. I hate to do it. Oh. They three-peat.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to counter you. The Lions end the dynasty.
Wow.
The mighty team that will not yield. They're all going to hate me for saying this, but give me the Lions.
All right.
Chiefs are going to go three-peat.
It's
never been done before.
Over here.
Yeah,
you're going Lions? All right, we got 2 Lions Super Bowl champs, 2 Chiefs. Again, if we're right, we will come back to this. If not, this never happened. Those are our NFL preview picks as we get ready for Week 1 starting on Thursday night in Kansas City. 615-737-1025 is our phone number if you want to text or call. Our phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll take one final break. We'll come back. We'll make some weekend picks and get out of here on this Sunday morning. Here on Forest Company, 1025-1063, The Game. Final segment here on Forrest Company, Sunday edition. We'll be back on Saturday, 9 to 11 next week. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Nuke, Jake Wallman. Very quick weekend picks here as we went long on our NFL predictions.
That's all right.
Tonight, USC, LSU. You can listen right here on the game at 6 o'clock. Who you guys got?
In the wise words of former coach Ed Orgeron, go Tigers.
Go Tigers.
Yeah, I'm sweeping as well.
I'm going LSU.
LSU beats them by 2 touchdowns.
Whoa. I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
I don't think it's going to be that close.
USC's been trying to get out of this game for like a year.
Yeah. In Vegas, I was hearing on the way in that I guess it's supposed to be 80% LSU fans. I think Tigers.
You know what that means? If USC wins or loses, I mean, that Lincoln Riley seat is burning hot.
Heating up. We have two NFL games that will be played before we are back on the air. Chiefs Ravens Thursday night, NFL opener. Who you got?
I'm taking the Ravens.
Whoa.
I will go Ravens as well.
I'll go Chiefs. I think it's primetime Chiefs. It's Mahomes' first game of the season. Spotlight's on him.
I'll give a score prediction too, 24-21.
I like that. I think it'll be close. I think the Ravens win. It feels like the Chiefs can't beat the Ravens in the regular season. I don't know if that's right, but like they always win the playoffs.
Yeah.
Jake Wallman?
I'm going Ravens.
Okay, three Ravens, one Chiefs.
Only one Chiefs pick?
Yeah, I know. Two of us just picked them to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Oh, well.
And then in Rio on Friday night, Packers and Eagles. We get back-to-back NFL games to start the season for maybe the first time ever. I don't know.
Yeah.
Packers-Eagles. Who we got?
Going Eagles just because the running back depth for Green Bay is just they're going to be feeding Josh Jacobs the ball continuously, and that's going to wear on them throughout the game. So I'm going to go Eagles.
I will go Packers.
Hmm.
I'll go Eagles as well. I agree with you.
Eagles.
So I'm alone wolfing on the Packers here.
Yeah.
We'll see how it is.
I don't believe in Jordan Love.
I do.
Opposite on that.
I believe in him.
Fantasy genius. Over
yeah.
Here.
Well, we will be back on Saturday. Connor will not be with us on Saturday.
I will
except
at
for Newt's Notes.
Okay,
he's going to call in. He can't miss his own segment.
Yeah, why not?
But we will recap those two games and get ready for week one. Titans in Chicago coming up on Sunday. Guys, it's been fun, our little extra show here, since we couldn't go on yesterday.
How about that? And if you want to check out more from 1025 The Game tomorrow, Robbie Rex, I believe, and Jason McJoe Show.
Yes.
So check that out.
Labor Day, I believe we don't have Jared on, or maybe a little bit of Jared in the afternoon.
Yeah.
I think he has an hour and a half, but yes, Robbie and Rex Road, usual time, Chase McJoe Show, regular time tomorrow, despite the holiday.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. It's been a fun one here on this Sunday. Jake Lyman, Connor Newton, Nick Frazier, Jake Wallman signing off. Forrest Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
See ya!